All right, as previously mentioned on our text tree earlier tonight, we mentioned that we are going to be hearing tonight from someone that we haven't heard from in a while. And we are going to be hearing from from Sister Nona Freeman. Some of you know that name. You remember that name from years past. A powerful woman of God, anointed, greatly used, a missionary, I believe, to Africa. And just a lot of great spiritual insight and anointing upon that woman of God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit after the devotion tonight. So let's go ahead and begin listening to Sister Nona Freeman. The title of this message is Days God Has Given You. Days God Has Given You. Once again, we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry for being so diligent and helping us to upload these messages. Let's go ahead and begin to listen to Sister Nona Freeman tonight.
Before I read my scripture this morning, I want to tell you a little parable. This king, I had a different kind of a kingdom. To each one of his subjects every day, he gave a treasure. And they weren't asked to give account of it, except there would come a day, an accounting day. And each one received the same treasure, and it was up to them to do with it what they thought would be best. They could waste it, or they could put it to some profitable use, or whatever. It was up to them. And but he did arrange that one day there would be an accounting day. Now this kingdom is called time. And time gives to every one of us a treasure every day. The day itself is the treasure. And you don't give account at the end of the day, but you will give account one day. Let me read you the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. I want to read verse 33 too, because it gives us some light and what we should do with the days God has given us. Matthew 6, 33 and 34, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. That could be one of the most disobeyed words of Jesus in the Bible. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to talk to you about the days that God has given you. Many years ago, I wrote this little poem. Life has this strange feature. I cannot know the day, the twisting and turning of my variable way. My situation shifts with incredible speed. Security or wealth swings to frustrated need. One moment fulfillment, health of body and soul, then sudden upheaval, and life demands its toll. I pay with aching grief, touching my broken heart, and then Jesus whispers, child, you're set apart. Changes will work for good, magnify my great name. When this trial has passed, you will not be the same. At last I understand that he designs for me pressures to mold and shape me to what I need to be. The lesson I must learn, regardless of my way, is simple loving trust in him who plans each day. God has given us days. We wouldn't be here. We have the reminders around us on all sides of those whose days are ended. But I feel so strongly that something very sad is happening. We do not realize the value of a day. We don't like today. Well, we shrug our shoulders and say tomorrow is another day. Maybe. Could be worse. And you may not have a tomorrow. The wise man who said, live every day as if it were your last one, said a mouthful. One of our preachers in Africa was dying, 57 years old, pastor of one of our churches. And we got the sad news and hurried there. But that man reached for my hand and he said, "Sister Freeman, I want to give you a sermon illustration." He said, "I have lived my whole life, 57 years, looking, waiting, anticipating the good days." He said, "The good days came and went, and I didn't even recognize them. And they're gone now. Now I remember what the good days were, but I didn't enjoy them when I had them because I was still waiting for the good days to come." You see, we need to take a little serious thought about our days. In the book of James, he gives a little illustration about not to say tomorrow we'll do this and tomorrow we'll do that, because we don't know what the will of God is, and we need to pray over every day. But God has given you a day. He gave us this day. And I'm so thankful for every one of you that decided to come to the house of God. This is a beautiful day that God has given. I want to let you in on something that I have learned. You see, when the Lord told me that I was to come back to America, I was very dismayed. And I might as well tell you the truth about why. You know, you Americans have such grim faces. You wait for something to be said that's funny, and then you'll smile. But you have no idea, comparing you with the people that I preach to up and down the continent of Africa, they sat there with eager anticipation, and you sat there with this grim look. And don't feel bad. Welcome to the club. It's all over the country. It's in every church that I go to. I really did not want any part of it. But the Lord said, "You're supposed to work on this." You see, we get old and ugly before our time. Long before we should. Because we don't understand the gift of the days that God has given us. We're always waiting for a better one. And we're glad this one's... How many times have I said, "Thank God the sun's going down on this day"? There are days like that. That just seems like everything that goes wrong, everything that could go wrong, goes wrong. But you see, what we've got to learn to realize that God remains the same. The Lord Jesus is always the same. Hallelujah. He doesn't change. And every day He's given us another day. And it's for one purpose, if you know Him. And that is to get better acquainted with Him, to draw nearer to Him. And it's a sad mistake to think that you've ever think you've got it made. There's no graduations from this school. You've got to keep on striving, keep on reaching. In the very last letter that he wrote, Paul said, "I have not attained yet, but I'm reaching and I'm striving." Let me just turn and read that in the Bible over here in Philippians. It's such a beautiful testimony. I mean, Paul could have said, "Well, they're sharpening the knife to cut off my head and it's all over with and this is it." But that wasn't true. And that was not his attitude. He said, reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Now, I've met a few folks that thought they were perfect already. Stay around them very long, you find out it's not true. "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish we could understand today that life every day must be a pressing. And a reaching. And if you ever stop pressing and you stop reaching, may I tell you the truth? You're going backward. And life is like a treadmill. If you try to stand still and say, "I'm tired." And sometimes people say, "Stop the world and let me get off. It doesn't work that way. If you ever pause to take your breath, it seems, or just to relax just a little bit, it keeps moving on and you are left behind. It takes a continual reaching and stretching. And I began to work on some ways of doing this. And God has given me some insights and that I want to share with you today that can help you with your wrinkles, that can help you with your face. A wise man has said, well, Abraham Lincoln refused to hire a man one day, appoint him to a position. And so someone said, but why? This man has a lot of accomplishments and qualifications. And why didn't he? He said, I don't like his face. And as I said, well, but that seems so prejudiced. He said, no, no. He said, any person over 40 deserves the face they wear because they have built it. You see, if you don't like the way your face looks, you start trying to change in here. I remember when I was a little girl living across the street from a family called Briggs. And one day I said to my mother, I said, you know, Mother, Mrs. Briggs is the ugliest woman I have ever seen in all of my life. I mean, that poor darling, she looked like she had the whole world on her shoulders, and she just was miserable looking. But later on, there was no church in this town. My mother managed to get a tent there and a preacher to come and hold a tent meeting, and Mrs. Briggs got the Holy Ghost. And I watched carefully because I remembered what Mrs. Briggs looked like before. And it to me, I wasn't very old. I wasn't even 10 years old yet. Well, no, maybe I was 10, but I wasn't any older than 10. But I watched that woman's face being transformed by the power within. Hallelujah. I said to my mother after just a few months, I said, you know, they didn't have any church, but every day Mother and Sister Briggs and two or three others that had come to the Lord would pray together, have prayer meetings together, and maintain. You've got to maintain what God has given you. You can't just say, well, I've got it now, and sit down and go to sleep. It doesn't work that way. If you don't maintain it, you're going to lose it. And I watched that lady as she grew in the Lord. And I said to my mother, I said, you know, Mother, I can't figure it out. She said, what's puzzling you? I said, how anybody as ugly as Mrs. Briggs was can get to be as pretty as she is now? There's just something so nice about her face. And if you let God, He'll make something about your face be nice. You know, we look in detail at, I used to worry because my eyes were small, you know. Other members of my family didn't have these little tiny green eyes like I did. And I that just worried me. And I'd hear people talk about big eyes, and I'd just cringe. I knew I didn't have them. And then we worry about our complexions. We worry about individual things, but it's the whole face that can be a glowing testimony to Jesus Christ if you learn how to handle every day. You may wonder where I'm going, but I know where I'm going. I want you to understand there is a better way to live than just this everyday grind. The grind will still be there, but it's the way you take it. I mean, when Paul wrote those beautiful words that I read to you, he knew he was staring death in the face. He knew this is it. I won't live over this. Well, hey, we're not going to get out of here alive anyhow. So what's the big deal? The Lord gave me a sermon one time that I just love to preach on, so what? And it has helped me a lot. But let me tell you that for many years of my life, my address was Anxiety Alley. That's where I lived. And, well, it was so bad, I remember waking my husband up in the middle of the night one night with an awful sigh. You know, he opened one eye and he said, now what are you worrying about? I said, 11 more years and I'll be 50. I mean, my worrying reached far. But there came a glorious day when I began to understand and realize that God never planned for me to live like this. Then I only then realized when I moved out of Anxiety Alley how many of God's children live there. There's just a whole assortment. I will have to also tell you that the female of the species is a little bit worse than the men. I have met some worrywart men, but mostly it's us females that we always worry. I want to tell you some good news today. If you can live just for today, just for today, take it one day at a time, you will have achieved a great spiritual victory that can transform your life and your attitude. Hallelujah. Well, about me worrying over being 50, I found out 50 wasn't bad at all. And I had a good time in 60s, and I'm enjoying the 70s. I'll be 75 in July. And anticipating it, well, no, I'm not. I've learned not to anticipate anything. But when 80 comes, I'll enjoy that too. Hallelujah. Because I have learned this glorious secret of living today. Today is a treasure. If you could have stood beside the bedside of John D. Rockefeller when he was dying and begging his doctor, just promise, give me 10 more minutes. I'll give you my fortune. Give me 10 more minutes. Then you'd understand a day is precious. I think one of the best things, now please don't jump to conclusions on this, one of the best things that can happen to a person is to have the death sentence, you know, doctor says 36 hours. That's what he said about me. One said about me one time. Another one looked over his desk and said 6 months. when you get a few death sentences, it will help you to sort of realize that every day is a treasure. If you can look at every day as a treasure, and say, Sister Freeman, everything goes wrong, it's still a treasure because you're learning how to trust Him. You're learning what God can do. You're learning how He's sending these things to us to broaden our horizons and to enlarge our perception of Him. Because if nothing ever happened, you know, we grew up on myths. The truth of the matter is, none of us look like Barbie dolls. And what was portrayed to us as live happy ever after doesn't exist. I mean, that pitiful, I say pitiful because of how little she understands about the grimness of life. That beautiful bride is pitiful in a way because it starts off so nice. I mean, flowers and lace and nice perfume and everything. Everything is so nice. But when after the marriage is over, then bow, bang, a life sets in with lightning speed, and then it's bills, and before the pill it used to be babies pretty quick, and there it was just one thing after another, then think back to that beautiful day that I got married. Never dreamed it would be like this. I think it's a whole lot better to realize that God is the giver of every day. He gives us the days. And a lot that happens in a day depends on how you spent the days up until now. If you've been careless about reading the Word of God, if you've been careless about prayer, today can really be rough. When you try to learn it all at one time. I always love to read. And my mother would try to hide every book she'd put under lock and key. Every bit of reading material when she'd leave me, and she'd say, "Now, sis, you clean the house." But I quickly learned to go to the neighbors and borrow. If it wasn't anything but newspapers, I was a readaholic. I had to be reading all the time. Whatever I did with one hand, holding my book in the other hand. You know, wash dishes, try to iron with one. That was kind of tricky, because I get to an interesting part and let the iron sit there. And they didn't have such good controls on them back in those days if it happened to be electric. Fortunately, when I was using the old sad irons, maybe they'd get cold before I'd scorch things. But my mother knew, But I'd find something to read, and then all of a sudden I wake up and realize, oh, she's going to be here in just a few minutes. And then I'd start trying to get everything done that I should have done the whole day, and I'd run and shove stuff out of sight and try to make up the bed so it looked like it was really made up, you know, not really made up. And I've stuck dirty dishes in the oven and just done anything to get it out of sight because she's coming to inspect my work. Well, you see, you can't do that with days either. It doesn't work with days. You can't make up in one day for all of the negligence of the past. All you can do is put it under the blood and make a new start. And say, we need to learn a healthy respect for every day that God gives us. Regardless of our circumstance. Regardless of our conditions. And if you can learn a couple of things about your days, will really help you. Well, let me say first, though, you need to learn how to turn loose of yesterday and not be reaching for tomorrow. A dear old preacher, I am sure that your pastor and his wife will know who old Brother Dan Hayes was. He came to our house one day. The first time he said this to us, we were painting. My husband said I was always a three-coat painter, one coat on the floor and one on the wall and one on me. But he come in and found us like that, and we were very concerned about things, worried about trying to get off to Africa, worrying about some things that had happened. We were held in bondage of these things, and he realized that. He made us stop our work. We came to him. He put one arm around each of us, and he said, "Children, don't be crucified between two thieves." What's this old man talking about? I'm not planning on being crucified anyway. What I didn't realize that crucifixion of the flesh is a must. That's something we've got to do. And if you forget to do it, God will send you some very convenient circumstances where that's all that's left to do is to crucify the flesh. He said, "Yesterday is gone. You can't call back 1 second of it. You can't change one thing you did wrong. All you can do is hurry to the foot of the cross and say, 'Lord, cover my mistake with your blood.'" But if you're going to grieve over yesterday and you're going to worry about yesterday, you know there are people that an event will happen that they spend the rest of their life, they dedicate the rest of their days to grieving over something that happened a long time ago. You've got to learn to turn loose of it. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care how much you were hurt. It doesn't matter what a terrible experience it was to go through. God doesn't mean you to hang on to that and worry about it the rest of your life. There's something better to do than grieve about yesterday. He said, if you live in yesterday. Well, let me tell you about a friend of mine. She has a problem. Everywhere they have pastored, pastor's wife, she never did like it. When she was there, where they came from was the best place. And she spent all of her time longing to go backwards. And life is a one-way street that moves forward every day, whether you want to or not, or whether you like it or not. I mean, I've been there too when I wish that a day could stand still and just be a little bit longer because it was so nice. But it doesn't work that way. Life is a one-way street, and you keep moving on, and you can't go backward. And if you leave your mind going backward and have your thoughts going backward and your spirit going backward, you're a miserable person. Too many of us are caught there. And then he said, tomorrow is another thief. You can't change anything about tomorrow by worrying about it or thinking about it. And later on, after he talked to us, I began to think about also, do you know how we live? I can't hardly wait until. Well, when I retire, or when the kids come, or when the kids leave, we're always looking forward to something. And any time you're looking forward, even on a holiday, or something special and nice, you will spend too much time anticipating that, you deflate it. You ruin it of a lot of its charm. Just let it come when it comes. And quit the anticipation, because anticipation takes away when it finally comes. I've seen people anticipate a holiday. Just, oh, I just can't hardly wait. Just can't hardly wait. And when they finally got to go on that holiday, and it wasn't what they hoped it to be. They just didn't enjoy it as much as they thought they would. But you see, this is the secret. Don't anticipate it. When it comes, enjoy it. But wait till it gets here. Wait till it gets here, where you are, and then enjoy it. Well, I'm sorry to confess to you that it took me quite a few years to learn to live in today. Yesterday is a thief, tomorrow is a thief. But when about the time that I finally got it all together, I wrote another poem about that, and I called it Today. Let me read it to you. This poem has blessed me so many times. Well, today, the past leers accusingly over my shoulder, this you did or didn't do, that you should or shouldn't have. But the one-way street that life is allows no recall nor return. Let me bend to this nagging, let me weep with vain remorse, then yesterday, arrogant thief, will rob me of today. The future looms ominously, mysterious, unknown. I have not walked here before, so I cannot know the way. This curtain allows no glimpses, the iron door implacably closed. If worry and doubt grind me, fear overshadow my heart, then tomorrow, arrogant thief, will rob me of today. Today is my gift for using. It needs all of me. Uncluttered heart, not looking back. Unfettered mind, content with now. I'm not the bird beating its wings, but the eagle freely soaring, guided in each decision with spiritual precision. There is no thief that can rob me of today. No thief can rob me of today. Hallelujah. If I turn loose of yesterday and I turn loose of tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, it is this miserable trying to... You see, when you're trying to look too far forward and backward, you can't see what's right in front of you. You see, many times their mothers have said, oh, if I had only been more observant and realized what was happening. If I had only had my eyes open, I might could have avoided some of the things that have happened. We need to learn to live in today. Hallelujah. Because today is all we've got. Not one of us know whether we'll have another day. Let's give God everything we can today. Let's give it our best, because today is all that we have got. We don't have another day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you a good way. You don't have to do it exactly this way, but find your own way to start every day. Let me tell you how I start most of mine. I might forget early in the morning. I have a few times. But somewhere along the morning, I'll remember, and then I'll do it quickly. I love to quote that scripture. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you know, when I examine that, he puts the rejoice first, because if you don't rejoice, you won't be glad. And we look at our feelings. How do I feel today? I feel rotten. That's the first mistake you make. If you will begin to rejoice in that day, you will be glad. God is still God. Hallelujah. He's still on the throne. He has not lost his power. He has not lost his strength. He's not lost his might. His arm is not short. He's not weak. Hallelujah. Because he's still God. Regardless of what happens today, I can make it. I can make it. Hallelujah. Because he's God. And after I say that and rejoice a little while, then my mother always tried to find a copy, and if she couldn't find it to put on her kitchen cabinet, she'd print it. The last verse of the 19th Psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. I say those words so often because I have learned that it's in our thoughts that Satan defeats us. It's in our meditation that the enemy finds a place to slip in his negative thoughts. Some of us live such negative lives. I pray God to help you turn around today. Say, I've got nothing to be positive about. And yes, you have. You've got the treasure of every day, the day that God gives you. I was dealing with a missionary wife, and she was having a lot of problem with negativism. And I said, what in the world is wrong with you? Don't you ever have anything positive to think or to say? And she said, well, Sister Freeman, I guess it's the way I was raised. As my grandpa used to live with us, and at the breakfast table, he'd always say, I'm just feared what might happen to some of us today. You can start off your days with worry and with fear, and you can make your life utterly miserable. But you can say, hallelujah, this is a day that the Lord has made. Last year, I had an unusual experience. It's kind of funny with us. Our eye doctor lives in Mena, Arkansas. We lived in Mendon, Louisiana. And our dentist lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In all of our traveling days, you know, it didn't really matter. And we're still traveling, so I don't guess it still matters because sooner or later we'll get by both of them. But the dentist said, Sister Freeman, I'm awfully sorry, but this jaw tooth has got to come out. And I said, well, okay, when do you want to do it? He said, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. He said, but now let's think about how we do it. Look, you can't take this now. I know you don't take anything for anything else, and I still remember doing a root canal on you without anything to deaden your mouth at all. But he said, this jaw tooth is different. He said, you're not going to be able to stand this. No human being can stand to have a jaw tooth pulled without anything. I said, oh, it's going to be all right, Dr. List. Don't worry about it. Well, the next morning when I got there, he hadn't hardly slept, worrying over my tooth. I said, I slept good. He said, Sister Freeman, now they've got a lot of new things that probably you won't have the reactions that you had. I said, Dr. Les, let me tell you something. I'm old and ugly enough now that I don't intend to try anything else. Whatever they come out with new, it's also a drug. And I'm allergic to all of them, and that's it. And I said, now, you just do what you've got to do, and I'll do what I've got to do. And he said, but I just don't think you're going to be able to take this. I said, listen, I will not get up out of this chair, and I will not yell. I might moan a little bit. Now, I won't promise that I won't moan a little bit, but you pull out the tooth, and I'll do my part. Well, when it was out, he said, listen, I want you to tell me how you did that. He said, I didn't believe it was humanly possible for anybody. He said, you've got long roots on your teeth, and I knew that. And I said, well, number one, I refuse to dread it. You see, we make everything 150 times worse because we react it and we dread it and we go with fear and trembling. I said, I refuse to dread it. There's always a possibility I could get you this morning. You say, well, I don't believe it has to come out after all. But if it has to come out, the Lord is just not going to go out of business just because I have a tooth pulled. So I depend on Him. So I did not dread it. Then number two, when I sit down in this chair, I made myself relax. You see, we also make everything worse by clenching up and getting so tight, you know. We're just getting such a tension, and that makes everything bad and badder. If you just learn to relax. And I am one that had to learn to relax. I noticed myself as a newlywed driving down the road. My husband's driving. I've got my fists clenched because I had to learn to unclench my hands and let them be limp. And I had to learn how to relax because I was a keyed up, tense bundle of nerves all of my life. And I had to learn relaxing. And I said, I made myself relax in this chair. And then when you started to work on that tooth, I began to praise and worship the Lord just as hard as I could in my mind. you had my mouth occupied, so I couldn't use it. But in my mind, I began to worship the Lord, and it wasn't near as bad as I thought it could have been. However, I did not do a lot of thinking about what it's going to be like.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. What a tremendous, tremendous message that we've heard. And this is just the first half. I know we cut it right down the middle, so we are anticipating and in suspense mode until next Monday to hear the other half. What a tremendous message from Sister Nona Freeman. I believe she had all of us at the edge of our seats. And what a timely message, especially with all the things that are going on in the world right now, the anxiety and the stress that's being produced in the minds of people. So I just made a few notes here at the very beginning. You need to move out of anxiety alley. You need to learn how to move out of anxiety alley. Hey, this was for everybody. She was focusing on the women on certain points, but this is for men, women, young people, everybody today. Just live for today. One day at a time, she says. And she also wrote here, to have a healthy respect for the days that God has given us. Yesterday is gone. She made a concept here. She offered a concept of the two thieves at both sides of the cross. One thief being yesterday and the other thief being tomorrow. No thief can rob me of today, she said. And at the very end, she talked about learning to live in today, because today is all that we got, and I refuse to dread it. I need to learn how to make myself relax. You know, when you hear all this, you think about, yeah, you know, this is an anointed message, and these are spiritual things, but there's a lot of practicality in living for God, and she has such a way of expounding that practicality in such an entertaining way, but in such an anointed manner. Again, we're so thankful for this tremendous message from Sister Nona Freeman. But I want to finish up with one other thing, everyone, and that is this. We have some powerful, some great women of God in our church. We have elders among us. Right away, I'm thinking about a Sister Sanders and other women of God that we look up to that are prayer warriors. I could name quite a few, Sister Ponce and Sister Sprinkle and Sister Cindy and several other women who are models and examples for us. And also, I found out that Sister Elizabeth is currently teaching a great class for our women. So they started it last Tuesday. They're going to be continuing it tomorrow, Tuesday night. So once again, great things that women in our church are doing. They are our mothers, our sisters, our aunts, our grandmothers. They are women that deserve our respect and our prayers. Praise God. So once again, we look forward to listening to Sister Nona Freeman next Monday night. With that said, God bless all of you. Please be meditating on this powerful message that we heard tonight. The days that God has given you. Praise God to everybody. Have a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.